Welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast, where you'll learn how to structure terms and use various creative financing strategies to create profitable deals for short and long-term wealth. Whether you're a buy and hold investor, wholesaler, or flipper, learning creative financing will help you do more deals and unlock profits that you may not even know existed. On the Creative Financing Podcast, we break down actual deals we and our guests are doing and simplify the methods and terms used to execute these strategies. Now, let's dive in and create some terms.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast. I'm Nicole Kamanjian. I'm here with Cody Richard and the host of the show, Jeff Rappaport. This is episode 206, and today we're going to do part two of creating true passive income through notes. While listening to this episode, if you guys have questions, please head over to our Facebook group. Just search the Creative Financing Podcast. If you're not part of that community already, just ask to join. If you're watching this on YouTube and have questions, just make sure you comment in or ask those questions in the comments below. If you get value from this episode, please like and share and subscribe to the show. Let us know. It lets us know that you're learning from the content and honestly motivates us to create these episodes. We also want your feedback, so please rate and review them wherever you listen. Jeff, you want to continue on?
Sure. Thanks, Nicole. Last episode, we went over an example of a three-house deal that we are currently working on, and we went through two offers, actually three offers with a cash offer. Today, we'll go through and see what our exit strategy will be, or exit strategies, because we have a couple here, and we'll see what it kind of results in terms of which offer the seller takes and how does that translate into profit for us. Okay. Cody, do you want to go over the quick example review, what the deals were?
Yeah, and you may have to pick me up along the way, but
it's
2 3-bedroom, 1-bath houses, and one of them was 2-bedroom, 1-bath. Total value was probably around $120,000. Seller was just asking $80,000. He's buying a new house and basically just wants some money to be able to purchase his new property. And all he wants covered up front is the down payment. So those offers kind of worked around his needs and worked to make it so we could create these exit strategies.
Really what he wants is, so he would love 80 grand so he could just pay for it in cash. If he can't get 80 grand, then enough for a down payment and whatever income that we're paying him would cover his payment. So he doesn't want a house payment is what he wants. Okay. All right. Let's go to the whiteboard and let's put forth. I probably have to let you share, right?
Nope, it should be good.
Good.
All right, back to our sacred whiteboard.
All right. So let's put down our two offers just really quick so we know what we're working with. And okay, we have first offer is $83,000.
Okay. Purchase price $83,000.
Yep. Down payment 12.
Okay.
Payment of $500 a month.
Okay.
For 108 months. Balloon of 17,000. By the way, if the seller was to take this offer and we were to play it all the way out for 108 months, and he is now due $17,000, and I don't really have it at this point for whatever reason, do you think it's possible I might be able to work something out with this seller for the $17,000? I mean, we've been doing this for 9 years.
Yeah, by that point, there should be a lot of trust, and he's getting his mortgage payment plus some anyway, right?
Yeah, that, and if his mortgage isn't paid off, then it's probably pretty close. And as long as I maintained what I was doing, I'm probably fine, right? So I'm really not worried that, hey, I'm left owing $17,000. Okay, offer two was purchase price $80,000.
Okay.
With a down payment of $40,000. And we are going to borrow that against the property in first position.
Jeff, on that first offer, is that principal only, or is there interest on that $500?
Principal only.
Okay. Against the property.
Yep. We're going to give the seller a second mortgage. Trustee note for his equity of $40,000 with a payment of $350,000 principal only. And I think we decided on 108 months for this one as well.
Correct.
Now, if he came back and he said, hey, 108 months is too long, I don't want 108 months, my response to him would be, how long do you want? How long do you want us to keep paying off your house? The balloon will be $2,200.
That's the smallest balloon I've ever heard.
Right? We certainly could have just made this until paid in full, but and to me, it really doesn't matter that much. It's not a big deal either way. All right. So who do you think are my potential, what do you think are my potential exit strategies?
I mean, the one that comes to mind is what I've usually done is just wholesale it to an investor, mark up the down payment, and then they are responsible for everything.
So we're not going to be wholesaling because when you're, well, I shouldn't say that. If you, I guess it really depends how you define it, but let's look at exactly what you were talking about, Cody. Let's say that one of our exit strategies is to sell to a landlord.
Okay.
All right. So let's think about this. Let's see if this will even work. All right. So in both of these instances, our payment is about, you know, let's say 500, 550, somewhere in there. Let's say, you know, we've got to make sure that we're paying the seller $550 a month. If we sell to a landlord, who pays the taxes?
Landlord.
Who pays the insurance?
The landlord.
Landlord.
Who pays all the maintenance and repairs?
All the landlord.
Okay. If we sell to an owner occupant, who pays the taxes?
All the owner occupant again, right?
Correct. Who pays the insurance and the maintenance and the repairs?
Owner-occupant.
Okay, so we don't, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so if we choose either of these options, the only thing that we're paying for is what?
That monthly payment to the seller.
That's right.
And then if it's option two, the private money payment as well.
Right, so 500 to 550, right? Yep. That's what we're on the hook for. We think that these will rent for how much? $2,150 a month.
Yeah.
So if we go back, do you still have that screen where we put some numbers down for expenses or no?
No.
Okay. So, and you don't need to write these down, but we thought that taxes were going to be, I think, 27, I think, right? And insurance we put at 1800. And let's say that repairs are going to be 4,500. And maintenance. Let's call it $5,000. I'm just guessing here, right? But these are smaller houses. Two of them are on pretty small lots. I think the one owner occupied one is on a little bit bigger lot. But I'm just trying to ballpark it. I'm not trying to get 100% where I'm comfortable with all the numbers. I'm just trying to get a quick idea. What if I had management too? So it'd be about, let's say $2,400 for the year and some utilities, right? Some water, sewer, garbage, maybe. Let's call it $2,400 for the year. Okay. So if I add all these up, it would be $18,800 total expenses. And we think we can get $2,150 times 12 is $25,800. So maybe my expenses are a little bit on the high side. I don't know that I think they would really run that much, but what could we cut here? Let's cut out the maintenance. So let's say that the expenses are more like 12,800. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So what if we went and we sold this for, so we're into it for 80 with the seller, right? And let's say that we're selling this to a landlord for 105. And really, in reality, we probably sell it for full market value if the property is in good shape, right? So that, actually, let's say that we're going to sell it for 120, okay? And but we're going to make the terms good. We're going to say we need $15,000 down.
Okay.
So that means that we will be financing a buyer for $105,000.
And so that down payment's all profit, right? Because we didn't put anything down.
Well, on the second one,
coordination.
The first one, it basically covers our down payment. All right. So, what if we did? So they're going to owe us 105, and let's say that we're going to charge them 5.5%, and we're going.
What are you calculating there, Jeff?
I am trying to see what I would sell this to my buyer for, what kind of terms. So we're selling it for. Let's say that when not only could we sell it for 120, we could actually sell it for more, right? If these properties are rent ready to go, in good condition, there's no reason that we couldn't get 125 or even 130 for this property. So, but let's say that we're going to stay at the 120, okay? And we're going to get $15,000 down, which is still a pretty good, I mean, it's 15%, but it's still pretty good in relation to, it's a small amount of money. And we would now get 105 would be the amount that we're financing, right, for our buyer.
Yeah.
And now, even though they could go and get a better rate with the bank, we're going to give them more long-term financing. They would have to go and more than likely get three different loans, right, to do this. We could just give them one that's attached, that's like it's called a blanket mortgage, goes on all three properties. And let's say that we did it we're going to amortize it over 15 years.
So 180 for N?
Yeah, 180, 5.5. What's the payment? So 857. So if we did this, we would be collecting 857 a month, and we're paying out 500 on the first example. So what we collect $357 a month, passive income. We don't do anything anymore. We don't own this property. We're not responsible for any of the maintenance or the repairs or vacancy or anything else. So this is what I mean by getting a note and true passive income. Now, is $357 probably the best thing that you could do here? Probably not. This might be better to just buy and hold.
Hey, podcast listeners, it's Nicole here. I just wanted to stop for a brief second to ask you, if you're getting any value from this episode, please head over to wherever you listen and rate and review us. It makes it to where we can continue to make these episodes for you guys. If this is your first time listening, please subscribe to this podcast. If you're more of a visual learner, we also have a YouTube channel. You just have to go to the Creative Financing Podcast channel on YouTube, and all of the new episodes have a video to follow along. Make sure you're subscribing, liking, and commenting on those videos. Thanks for listening, and let's get back to the show.
Maybe not make it totally passive, but we'll look at what we could do when we're selling it to an owner occupant. And that's where I think the real money is on this one. So
even on this one, you just built in 40K in equity, right?
Your
asking price, the difference between the asking price and what you bought it for.
Yeah. So let's say in 10 years, actually not even 10, let's call it 8 years. So 96 months, the buyer still owes you $59,703. What do we owe? Almost nothing, right? So like 20 grand. So we'd get paid another almost $40,000 in, you know, 8 years, 9 years, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And so we'll always stay ahead. And that's one of the things that and we're putting them on a 15-year amortization. So they're getting a good payment for what they're getting. Are they making any money? That is the question. 857 times 12, 10,000, 22. So they'd be making about, $2,500. It's not great. My guess is that, I probably wouldn't look to go this route unless I could get their money up and I could get my money up. But it is still a possibility. If you didn't, this would be an easy sale, right? Mm-hmm. That this is, people are looking for income property. You're basically saying, hey, for 15 grand, here you go. Here's three houses that are cash flowing. And maybe I'm not correct. Maybe you could get a little more out of the rents. Those were conservative numbers, and it might turn out to be another $75 to $150 a month, which all of a sudden makes that significantly better for a landlord. But let's look at what would happen if we sell these to individuals, okay?
Yeah, I can see how this is harder because there's a third person that needs to get paid in that other landlord. They need to have some monthly income.
Well, and the tough part on this is that we have to estimate what the repairs are. And when it's three separate properties tend to cost more than like if this was a triplex, right? Because triplex, you have one roof instead of three. You've got three furnaces as opposed to one. And so you typically will have, you have three lawns to mow. You have, so the expenses can be a little more being separate properties. What I'd probably do is remember I asked you to ask me a question, Nicole?
Yeah. So, do you want me to ask it?
Yeah, go ahead.
So do we want to make this deal, like all three or separate them out?
So what I would like to do, what I would do is I would make my LOI, all three of these together. Okay. So a package deal. Mm-hmm. In my LOI, I will say I have the right to make these individual contracts prior to closing. And I will absolutely do that. And the reason that I will do that is that if I have one mortgage and what I am giving to the seller in each of these cases is a mortgage or a trust deed and note, right? That's what's the collateral for the seller to make sure he gets paid. If I have all three, I have no flexibility, right? If I wanted to sell one, I've got to go get permission to get it released. And then we got to decide how much of that money comes to paying off the note. And I don't really want that. We could do a whole release clause like, hey, you know, that gives me flexibility. But I just assume, hey, if we agree to this, we'll just divide it up, right? They're almost going to be equal. The two bedroom will be a little less. And I'll make it all equal what we agree to. And it's not that big of a deal. But now I have flexibility. So I could sell each one of these individually rather than as a package. And I'm more than likely I'll get more money for them and I'll be able to charge more. And that is certainly what we're going to do when we sell to an owner occupant. Okay. So let's look at this. Let's look at if one of these properties is worth $45,000. We're selling it easy for 55, no problem at all. Okay. So now I'm selling one property for $55,000. And we'll just look at one and then we'll kind of see what it will do based on three of them. Right. So we're going to sell it for 55,000. More than likely, we're only going to get $5,000 down. Why? Because these are so cheap, but people don't, the people that are going to live in these properties aren't going to have lots of money. So still around our 10%. And when you add it all up, if we end up with $13,000, $14,000, $15,000 down payment, that's where we thought we would be anyway, right?
Pretty and similar it would, to option one or exit one.
Right. And it would still cover our option one out of pocket, right? Mm-hmm. So in reality, if we collect our $12,000 plus whatever closing costs we got, and we break even up front, not where I like to be, but acceptable. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So let's say that we're financing 50,000. Okay. When we're financing these small amounts, we can get a much higher interest rate. So let's start and just see where it takes us at 7.99% here.
Wow.
So 50,000 present value, 7.99. And I could do it over 30 years. I don't want to, though, because the payment is still pretty low, but I could. So why don't you do it over 30 years and see what it comes out to be, Cody?
And we're doing it this way because these are people that likely can't qualify for regular bank financing.
That's right. Yep. They may have some credit issues. They may have gone through a divorce, may have had a foreclosure. They may have had a bankruptcy. I am looking for people that have had an issue that has affected their credit, but they're not chronic issues that, you know, that they don't have issues for the last 15 years. Okay, so it's 366, but if we, let's say that we went 20 years, that'll take us to 417, okay? 417, our total payment on all three houses is 500 to 550, right?
Yep.
So if we're getting 417 on one, it's pretty likely that we'll probably end up with 1,000, 1,100. For all three, something like that. And now if we're paying out 500, we're making $550 to $600 a month. Cash flow, passive, we don't have to do anything. But let's talk about how that works. So in option one, we cover our payments. Maybe we make a couple thousand dollars, okay? Then we get all this cash flow, $500, $600 a month. Or more. And to be honest, what did I say the rents were? I would charge even a higher interest rate. Yeah. I would tell you that I want to be in that rent range. So if the three bedrooms are actually going for, let's say, 750, I'm going to get into that 750 range, at least close to the 700. So I might. You got to be careful on these smaller ones because some states have usury laws and you want to be careful that you're not going to cross any of them. What does that mean exactly, Jeff? Usury means that there's a certain rate of interest that you are allowed to charge by state, it's a legal amount. And if you exceed that, then you are violating the usury laws.
So there's a minimum, there's a maximum?
Well, there's not a minimum state requirement. That's the IRS.
Gotcha.
Damn, Uncle Sam.
Yeah, but states all have usury laws. And I shouldn't say they all do. Most do. Mm-hmm. But let's say that I charge 9.9%, so 50,000, and you're probably saying, well, who's going to pay 9.9%? To be honest, people don't care. It doesn't matter what the interest rate is.
Cheaper than renting.
Yeah, what does it matter? They don't care what they could. They want to know what their down payment is, what their monthly payment is, and if they can own for, you know, basically the same amount as it's costing to rent, that's a good deal for them. And they can go refinance whenever they want. And in this particular case, I might want them to not be able to refinance for at least a couple of years because, you know, all of ours are principal only. We want it to pay down some. It wouldn't be ideal if they cash us out, you know, within 6 months or a year. But
so
go ahead.
I have a question, Jeff. How does that work with the deed then? Like who holds that, the deed to the property?
It depends how you sell it. It depends how you sell it and what strategy you use. So okay. We're buying from the seller and, you know, this was free and clear property. So if I bought on a land contract or a contract for deed or whatever is used in Illinois, then mm-hmm. the title would still stay with the seller. And which would mean that I can't sell on anything other than a land contract or contract for deed, because I don't have the title to give, right? Mm-hmm. I don't even have control of that. In this case, what I would propose is that I will buy with trust deed and note, and my entity will go on title, and then I will sell on land contract or contract for deed. So I will stay on title. There's no loan. I don't have to worry about a due on sale clause other than one that I put in the note for the buyer, right? That way I don't, if they decide to sell on land contract or whatever, that if I wanted to, I keep control of that. That's how I would do it in this particular case. Okay. So let's look at this for a second. So let's say that we want to, that we're going to...
Hey, podcast listeners, it's Nicole again. Just wanted to stop one more time to ask you to please head over to wherever you're listening and rate and review us. Again, it helps us out so much. It makes it to where we can continue making these episodes for you guys, and we really appreciate it. Did I mention we have a YouTube channel? Now let's get back to the show.
$50,000... present value 9.9. And I have a friend that in Michigan, you know, he started listening to the podcast, and I've actually had him on our podcast, and he had a bunch of rentals in Michigan in these kinds of price ranges, you know, $100,000 and less. And he said Michigan has become such a problem to rent that every year you got to go through an inspection, you got to pay certain licensing fees, and it hasn't been a great experience. So he turned around and he sold them all on land contracts. Okay. And I think he sold them all for, I believe, 11%. And there were a number of them. No one ever complained about the interest rate. I think he tried to get 12% once, and he was told you can't. That's where the 11% is the max in Michigan, I believe. So let's say that we were going to do this and we are going to sell at 9.9% for 15-year amortization, and we get a payment of $534. Okay. So we cover our entire payment to the seller with one payment on the house, right? We still have two others, and let's say that they're going to bring in another $1,000. So we have on the first option when we're selling to, if we're doing the first option where we're giving the seller $12,000 down, $500 a month. Okay, so we break even, or we make a little bit of money up front. We're making about $1,000 a month in passive income. $1,000, that's nothing to sneeze at, right?
Nope.
You know, to generate $1,000 a month right now, at least in our market in Utah, you'd be putting down a lot more than $12,000. That is for sure, correct? and here's the best part, right? And I'm giving up some stuff by doing this, but and we'll talk about that in a second, but I'm getting my passive income, and that's all I ever have to worry about. When did I get my check? Did I get my check? And that is it. So I can go to the Bahamas, I can go on cruises, I can go do whatever I want. I never have to, it's truly passive. I don't have to check in with anyone as long as I got my check, right? And then at the end of this, so let's say in 10 years, let's say 9 years, right? 108 months, the seller, so we'll be paid off to the seller, right? Or I guess in this first example, we'd owe, I think it was $17,000, and I believe that The buyer will still owe us almost $29,000. So we'll make another $12,000, but we made $1,000 a month for 9 years plus another $12,000. Not bad, right?
Yeah.
1,000 times 108 is 108,000 plus like 12. About $120,000 from this little deal over 8 years, right? 9 years, over 9 years. Okay. But let's talk about the second one, because this is what I love about the second one. Okay. So if we can get that $15,000 up front from our buyers, the $5,000 around each one, that goes to us, right? We didn't put up any money. So all that money comes to us. So that goes in our pocket. Now, but we're paying slightly higher payment. All right. So we're making $950 a month cash flow, right? Or let's say worst case scenario, like $9,000. And so in over 108 months, we make times 900, $97,200. If at the end of the term was what, 108 months on this one too. So yep. We would owe what, 40 grand to our private investor, and we would owe like 2,200. So like $42,000, right? And the other, when these all came due, so let's say 50,000, 9.9, 180.
So on the first one, we're making about 120, correct? On the exit one, or my...
Yeah, so they would owe the buyer on each one, you know, and there'll be a little leeway on these because that one will probably be slightly cheaper.
Yeah.
But on like just this one, that they would still owe us $41,109 at the end if they took it all the way to the term. Okay. Could we extend it out? Could we continue? I mean, at the end of our term, right? But we don't owe anything anymore. So could we continue to, you know, there are people that are willing to pay more for a longer term, right? Because they have no means of refinancing ever. And so if you give them long enough, they're willing to pay, you know, much higher rate, a much higher payment, a much higher price. So but we don't have to say, hey, you got to pay us off in 9 years. We can continue on with this as long as, you know, until they pay us off in full, which would be if we're amortizing it over 15 years, you know, we're getting another 6 years of total payment without any debt.
Yeah. Yeah,
and if they default at any point in time, guess what? What do we get? We get the house back, we're pretty good. So, but we just go and start over and do it again. So, this is what true passive income. And the next example that we'll do, this one will like blow your mind away because you'll be like, "No way! Can you make any money on this?" And I'll show you. Just what I'm talking about. This is the coolest part, in my opinion. And then when you start learning how to sell off pieces of notes and partials, and it is the note business is vast, and there are so many different things that you can do with it. It just becomes amazing. But this one in particular is very easy to use And if you understand what you're trying to accomplish, you can see you can make really good passive, truly passive income. And the last thing I wanted to add is, so by doing this, I'm giving up some stuff, right? So if I would have held this, I'm getting the depreciation, okay? Mm-hmm. But how much depreciation am I really getting? I mean, if all three properties are worth 120 grand, it's not making a huge difference one way or the other.
Yeah.
Two, I'm giving up appreciation. You know, how much do these types of properties appreciate? Not a whole, lot, much. Right? It is a sale. So for me, it's a taxable event, right? Like I bought and I've sold. But most of it, the nice thing about selling on terms is that, hey, I'm taxed based on money I'm receiving, which is, you know, my cash flow, which is, you know, so I'm only getting taxed, you know, minimal amounts on what I've got. To me, and it really doesn't matter the price range. To me, you always want to have a balance, but you got to be careful that rentals are not for everyone. And owning rentals is work. Don't be fooled. It is work, and it costs money. And typically, it costs money when you don't have lots of money. I don't know why that is. It's just Murphy's Law. And you've got to be careful because you have tenants that don't pay. You got to evict. You have issues with things breaking. A tenant, you know, I used to own this apex, and I had a tenant's daughter who was 14 years old jump into the mom's rental car and put it in drive, drove over the little cement block into the building, into someone's living room. You've got all these issues. I've been a landlord. I don't love it. And here, I'm not a landlord. I am the bank. I'm Bank of Jeff. Any questions? We'll wrap this up.
It sounds like for a beginner, the biggest takeaway, like the biggest way to get into notes basically is to buy on terms, mark it up, and sell on terms. It's like the easiest way to get involved in the note business.
There's easy ways to get involved in notes, but that's one of my favorites.
Okay. Yeah, that's interesting. I'll definitely start looking to make offers like that.
Yeah. Well, like I said, now wait till you see the next one.
Ready to have my mind blown.
Yeah. Good. Nicole, do you have any questions?
No, this is sounding pretty good. I mean, I just got a message myself that the tub in my rental isn't draining properly. So this is perfect timing, Jeff.
That's right. I have some of these notes, and this is really interesting that we're having this conversation now, because 2 days ago I sold the property 5 years ago, and we'll talk in the future how to use this with people that are in default, because it's a really good way. Well, that was this example, and I sold this property here locally, and I've been making almost $700 a month cash flow for the last 5 years on a property I don't own anymore. However, and I made a little money. I made like $12,000-$13,000 up front, and I'll get paid again probably, I don't know what it is, $35,000-$45,000 when they refinance. Well, their note was due 2 years ago, so they had a 3-year balloon. At the end of this month, it'll be 5 years. So I had a little conversation with them, and I said, that house is worth a lot more now than it was 5 years ago. And it might be worth, I sold it for $395. It's a 4,300 square foot home, built in like 2008. It could be worth $800,000 to $900,000. And I said, we're going to need to modify that note. And they were not very happy. And I said, I think I'm being super fair. Yeah, I will leave you some equity, certainly. But if you don't want to see fair, then I just will take back the property and I'll go sell it for $800,000, fire sale it, and you know, we'll be done. So I have all the leverage, they have none, and they can't get a payoff without coming through me. And the payoff is in default. And so I'm running some comps to see what it's worth. And depending on, I said, you know, well, what are your plans? If you want to stay there longer, I'm willing to let you stay. But hey, we're going to modify the price. And if you want to cash me out later than sooner, then the price is going to go up. Mm-hmm. And if you want to do sooner, I'm willing to do less. But you know, one way or the other, it's going to change. They were a little angry at me, but I'm like, I tried to call you 2 years ago, and you know, the wife said to me something like, "Well, you said this," and I said, I "Whatever I said, I didn't say it's okay. It's okay to just refuse to pay me." So, yeah, I love doing these kinds of deals. These are great. So,
yeah, super eye opening.
Yeah. All right. So if you are interested in learning more about this or more creative finance, need some additional resources, look in the link below, look at our show notes and contact me directly. Happy to help. Any last words, you two?
Nothing on my end.
Go out and create some terms. Till next time.
Thanks for listening to the Creative Financing Podcast. We need your feedback to continue to bring you the best strategies in creative financing. So please subscribe, rate, and review the show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. We greatly appreciate your ear, and please pass this on. Until next time, create some terms. This show offers general information on creative financing strategies and real estate investments. Nothing contained herein should be considered personal, legal, or financial advice. Every state has individual laws governing the use and type of documents used to execute strategies discussed herein. You should consult with a local licensed real estate broker and attorney before relying on any information contained herein. Information is not guaranteed, and opinions of the guests are their own. Profits are not guaranteed, and there's always inherent risk in real estate investing.